of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Edmund Ruffin. That's R-U-F-F-I-N. He writes articles for whitenewsnow.com. And if you have a question or comment, you may call 800-313-9443. You know, the South has always been very independent. They've always had a lot of independent thinkers down there. And I can see this, you know, the entire Civil War, or part of the Civil War, was basically going against this region of the country that was a totally different mentality. They were not secularized. It was just a different part of the country. They thought differently. They did things differently. And that's why the North invaded the South. And they haven't stopped.
Absolutely. See, the Hatfields and McCoys, I'm glad you brought that up, because how they got there is very important in understanding this. The ancestors, my ancestors, were the Reavers of the Scottish-English borderlands in the 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. They would live on whichever side of the border was in the ascendancy at the time and raid on the other side. Then when James of Scotland became James I of England and following Elizabeth, there was no way that they could continue that because Scotland and England were together under one king. So they had to do something, and James sort of forced a lot of them to move to Northern Ireland to establish a Protestant presence in Catholic Ireland, and they went. But they weren't happy there. And they stayed there over 100 years, but in the middle of the 18th century, around 1750, probably 100,000 total of the Scotch-Irish moved from Northern Ireland to this country. Some of them came in through Hampton Roads, Norfolk. Some of them came in through Philadelphia. The ones that came in through Philadelphia went directly into the interior of Pennsylvania, into the hills, and continued what they did in Scotland, which was run free-ranging cattle and hogs and raise enough corn to keep their stills going. They joined the revolution in force and stuck with Washington for the duration and were totally insulted when the first Congress under Washington as president passed a whiskey tax.
Exactly, yes.
So they started what's known as the Whiskey Rebellion. And by the way, you had the same thing from the inception that you have now. George Washington, believe it or not, was the largest distiller of whiskey in the United States. He was number one. So he could afford to pay his tax, but it was going to run all the little guys out of business.
And that was the whole point. That was the whole point of the tax.
So they tarred and feathered a few revenue agents, actually shot a few county officials and burned a few courthouses. And then finally in 1794, Washington announced that he was personally going to lead the militia to put down the rebellion. So they all packed up lock, stock, and barrel and headed for the hills. And that's how they ended up in the Tug Valley. But they made a deal with the governor of Virginia that they would stay west of the Blue Ridge and not insult the blue bloods of the plantation tidewater with their unruly presence. And in return, they would keep the Indians off the rich people in the tidewater, and the reciprocal would be that the state of Virginia would leave them alone. And they did. So they lived there for 60 years or better, totally independent. I mean, each of those families was a law unto itself, and they never come into contact with the Virginia establishment.
As it should be. As it should be. All righty, we do have a 3-minute break. We will return after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Excuse me. Welcome back. Our guest today is Edmund Ruffin, and he writes for whitenewsnow.com. Okay, did you want to finish some of the comments that you were making? Because we do have some callers lining up.
Yeah. Devil Ants went to the Devil Ants' forefathers went to the Tug Valleys to get away from big government, which was trying to tax their whiskey. Devil Ants and his fellows fought for the Confederacy simply because they had an innate hatred of big government and strong government, and they knew that if the North won, they would have revenue agents in there again. And even though Devil Ants made a lot of money in the whiskey business and in the timber business, he never quit making whiskey. He was actually arrested for illegal whiskey up into the 20th century. But anyway, after these raids started, Devil Ants, the only thing he knew to do, and he resorted to using his political power in West Virginia, and he got the governor on his side, and they issued warrants for Frank Phillips and several of his men for killing Jim Vance and another Hatfield adherent in West Virginia. And so you had two sets of warrants, two governors trying to serve warrants across the state line. The Hatfields who were in prison brought a case to habeas corpus case on the basis that they'd been kidnapped. The governor of West Virginia, Wilson, actually went to Louisville to argue the case in federal court. The sitting governor argued the case. The district judge said he had no jurisdiction because it involved two state sovereignties, and he sent it directly to the Supreme Court. They gave a quick decision, The case is styled Mahon versus Justice. Mahon was one of Devil Nancy's sons-in-law who was in jail. Justice was a jailer of Pike County. Supreme Court gave a silly decision where they held that the men were kidnapped illegally from West Virginia, but they said once they were in the jail in Pikeville, they could then be served with warrants. So they allowed them to try them. They sent seven of them to penitentiary for life and hanged the retarded illegitimate son of Ellison Hatfield. And that happened in 1890 and is generally considered to be the conclusion of the feud itself. But the real conclusion of the feud came when the Supreme Court decision came down. Devil Nance knew the handwriting was on the wall. He sold all his land, his coal, on the Tug River for a pittance, sold nearly 5,000 acres for less than $10,000, and moved over to the Guyandot Valley and lived there for another 31 years, and no one ever tried to serve a warrant on Devil Nance after he gave up his coal. Now, that is what's important. He lived there for 30 years, and no official government agency ever tried to serve those murder warrants on him after he gave up his coal.
Well, that was the whole point, that they used that to intimidate him into doing that. And, you know, if you really look at the history of whiskey, we find that right after that, about 1898, that a lot of Jewish names came into the whiskey business, such as Isaac Strauss, Solomon Pritz, Max Hirsch, Bronfman, exactly.
Yep.
No, and they never got arrested for anything that they did.
That's right. That's right. Devil Nance, this is a good little aside here. In 1890, only a year after he had given up and moved over to the Logan area, Devil Nance was arrested by the feds for illegal whiskey. They came to his still, and instead of breaking up his still and hauling him in irons like they normally do, they told him, Mr. Hatfield, we want you to appear in federal court in Charleston on such and such a date. And they left. They didn't do anything to him. He sent word to the federal marshal through his lawyer that he'd come to Charleston, provided he was allowed to bring his own security with him and they were allowed to be armed, and he would be guaranteed that he would not be served with any other warrant for any other offense while he was in Charleston. And the federal marshal agreed with him.
Wow.
They went to court fully armed, and of course he was found not guilty.
Right.
But they had an aversion to any kind of strong government. They wanted to be their own people, and that really is the psychology that was involved in this entire thing.
Right. All righty, let's take a phone call. Let's take Greg in California. Greg, welcome to the program.
Morning, Dee. Hi. Morning, Edmund. I kind of tuned in late. I was wondering, Edmund, what is your newspaper mostly? Do you write this online, right?
I post on a site called White News Now.
Right. What kind of articles are they about mostly?
I write about everything. I write a lot about what's going on now. I live in Florida. Saturday night, 300 people who are euphemistically referred to as teens took over a Walmart store, ransacked it, ran all the white people out, and wrecked the store. And our local paper and television did not report that. We had to learn that by reading it on the Drudge Report. I wrote a couple of articles on that. I talk about things like that are going on now a lot.
So you do talk about our culture then?
I talk about what's happening to our culture, yes.
Okay.
I certainly do.
Did you know Dawn, oh my God, I forgot her last name, Deanna, the Idaho Observer, Dawn Harkin. Did you know Dawn Harkin?
Dawn Harkin.
Of the Idaho Observer?
No. I never met him.
Okay, you've heard of the paper?
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, he used to attend those kind of conferences in Europe. he and I were kind of close. And but I was just wondering what the paper. So you write about white culture, and do you write about the past history of back in the 1200s, 1300s, 1500s stuff, or none of that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't go much further back than my ancestors, who were the reavers of the Scottish borderlands. I write a lot about what kids now think is ancient history, which is the time I grew up in the South in the 1950s and 1960s.
And, yeah, right. Go ahead.
If one of my old redneck uncles had said 50 years ago that the time would come when 300 blacks would ravage through a Walmart store and the police not react and the local media not report it, they would have said they were lunatics, you know. But it has happened.
And well, maybe they all look like Obama.
It's happened in my lifetime. I talk a lot about that.
I just had a quick question, the one last question. What was that term you said describing about the Walmart when a bunch of, did you say the word cane?
Teens, T-E-N-S, T-E-E-N-S.
Oh. And is that a description of a type of culture?
That's a euphemism for people of African descent.
I've never heard that. I'll be darned.
Yeah, go on the internet, just put the word teens in Google and you'll see it. It'll all come up as these raids. They showed
I'm just
that
learning.
There's a YouTube on there showing you this raid on Walmart last weekend. Mm-hmm. And these people range in age from probably 15 to 35 or 40, but they're called teens.
I've never heard that, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, and thanks, Deanna.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay, dear.
When I made that comment about Obama, I was referring to the Trayvon Martin issue, when they had this very, very benign picture of Trayvon Martin. And I believe that Obama said, well, he could look like my son. Well, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, but Obama's grandfather looks like George Zimmerman's grandfather.
Maybe, possibly.
See, Zimmerman's great-grandfather was black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's 1/8 African. That's a fact. You can see his great grandfather's picture on the internet. Just Google it. He's 3/8 Amerindian and 1/8 black and 1/2 something else.
Well, isn't that interesting?
But in all the media, he's a white man.
Right.
He was a white racist.
Of course.
Now even Holder's FBI had to admit last week that there's absolutely no evidence that he had any racial motivation at all.
Well, of course, they've always tried to pitch the whites against the blacks, and they're doing a really good job of it. And even from the beginning, when the NAACP was really founded by the Jews, and
run by Jews till 1970. They didn't turn it loose of it till they had done all the damage, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. And they were also very instrumental in the civil rights movement.
Oh, weren't they? You know, this NAACP thing, when Romney went down there last week, I think he would have gained votes if he'd gone in and said, well, you people are now preferred in all public employment. You're preferred in applications to any university. You have a president and an attorney general. Now, your title is the advancement of colored people. How much further do you think you need to advance?
Right. Okay, we do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Keravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Keravim? Simple. Keravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to teravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Teravim, the best supplements on earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your two-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Edmund Ruffin, and he writes for whitenewsnow.com. Do you consider yourself a racist?
I don't know what a racist is. I know Devil Ants and the people we're talking about were not racist because the word wasn't invented till the 1930s.
Sure.
Do I recognize a difference in races? Yes, everyone that ever lived who had a room temperature IQ, including Bill and Hillary Clinton, knows their difference in races, and it's proved to us every day. At the same time you had this raid in Walmart in Jacksonville, you had a similar raid on an Albertson supermarket in Portland, Oregon. I used to say, 20 or 30 years ago, most people said once the black population in an area reaches 20%, you have a problem. I know I have a close relative who was a school teacher in Ohio, taught in several different schools, and she said that any classroom that had 20% or more blacks was too noisy for learning to take place. But generally, the crime and other pathologies would become evident when the population reached about 20%. As time went on, this decreased, and about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, I wrote and posted somewhere on the internet that the critical figure was now 10%, and I used Hennepin County, Minnesota, which is where St. Paul is, as a template because it had 10% blacks, but 100% of its most wanted list were black. And then when you look at Portland, and after I saw that news about last weekend, I did a little research last night on the internet, and they've had a plethora, a real outbreak of these raids in Portland, several of them this year. Their black percentage is a little under 7%, but they've had multiple of these flash robberies in Portland, Oregon. Now, to show you racial differences, if you go to the state and county quick facts for the U.S. Census, you'll see that Portland has a little less than 7% blacks, a little more than 7% Asians. Now, the Asians might be getting on some people's nerves out there by winning a disproportionate share of the valedictorian and salutatorian awards, but they're yet to organize their first flash robbery.
Right.
So if you have 7% blacks and 7% Asians, and one group produces valedictorians and the other group produces flash robberies, don't tell me there's not any such thing as racial differences. So if that makes you a racist, to acknowledge that clear and a very obvious and salient fact, then you could call me one. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's thrown around so much now, it's to me, it's totally immaterial. It's like an anti-Semite, you know.
Right,
Joe
sure.
Joe Sobrand said an anti-Semite used to be somebody that hated Jews, and now it's somebody the Jews don't like.
Right.
you know, so the terms are immaterial to me. As far, you know, as hatred, I have some hatred, but almost all of it is for people of the same color that I am, who've knowingly contributed to the destruction of our civilization.
Right. And now, we talked briefly about the slavery issue and who owned all of the slave ships and who was the most instrumental in the slave trade.
Well, the book that Farrakhan's group put out is one of the best research pieces of history you'll ever read. In fact, it is so good that they have never attacked it on the basis of its scholarship.
Exactly.
Not once. And it gives the story as it really was. There were no slave ships homeported in the South. None. Not one. Virginia outlawed the slave trade in the 1750s. When the Constitutional Convention met, they finally came up with it's actually in the Constitution, a lot of people don't know this, that the slave trade will continue for another 20 years and end in 1808. The reason for that is that Virginia was dead set on outlawing the slave trade in the Constitution. Massachusetts and Rhode Island, which were the headquarters of the slave trade, united with South Carolina, which wanted some more slaves, and they were able to get another 20 years of the slave trade in the Constitution. So
right.
That was also the
headquarters, basically, of Freemasonry.
That's right. And, well, that's a long story, Freemasonry and organized Jewry, but the relationship's there, and it goes back all the way to Europe. And probably can't be covered in this, but, you know, the slave trade was headquartered in Boston and Newport. They brought
right.
them over, and they sold them, and they made the money, and then they turned around and said, you got to let them go. And, you know, it's this hypocrisy that really turns me, you know, lights my fire. You have Harriet Beecher Stowe sitting up there riding Uncle Tom's Cabin.
She never even been south.
And, well, here's what gets me. If she raised her window to get a little fresh air in the summertime, she could probably hear the screams of 12-year-old children as their limbs were being torn off in the mills of the North, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. All righty, we do have to cut to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks. Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
You know, babe, I've got to say, there's a whole passel of reasons I'm happy we bought our seed bank from Texas Ready.
Really?
Yeah. The one that makes me happiest is our salsa garden. Onions, jalapenos, fantastic tomatoes, cilantro.
I know, dear. You couldn't survive without your salsa.
Folks, Texas Ready helps you to thrive, not merely survive. Multiple kinds of heirloom tomatoes, onions, and peppers. Plus non-GMO corn, beans, peas, and vegetable varieties out the wazoo. With over 75 varieties, each Liberty Seed Bank has enough fruit, herbs, and vegetables to enable you to grow well over 2,000 pounds of food in your subdivision backyard each year. Order your bank today at TexasReady.net or come visit us at Glenn Beck's Restoring Love Conference July 26th and 27th. We'll be set up near the registration tables at the Arlington Sheraton. Go to TexasReady.net for more information. See you there.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Ruffin. He writes articles for whitenewsnow.com. And you were talking about the child labor in the North. And this was particularly true in the textile industry after they invented the spinning wheel and all of that kind of thing.
They had
children working unbelievable hours.
Well, there's a little book. It's rare and hard to find. I've got a copy of it here called Slavery Defended. It was done by a professor from somewhere up east. I believe his name is McKittrick. He edited, put it together. And it is a dozen or so written defenses of slavery from the antebellum period written by Southerners. And the treatment that they give the Yankee labor system is really something to read. And it's true. I mean, you know, that's the way it was. My field of study, in graduate school was actually labor history, and what these defenders of slavery wrote about the North was true. When a man got hurt or sick in a factory in the North, he was on his own. When a slave got hurt or sick, they were taken care of. You know, many times. By the mistress herself, and I'm not for slavery. In fact, I think the greatest mistake that was ever made was bringing the first African to these shores. But you know, the idea that slavery was the way it was represented in the Roots miniseries is laughable. And that's proven by the simple fact that with all the virtually all of the able-bodied men away at war for 4 years during the war against the South, not one slave rebellion took place. You know, they didn't up and kill all the white people and take over the plantation. And another thing from history, it shows you how what we know is so tightly controlled. In the 1930s, Roosevelt's Works Project Administration put some unemployable new graduate students from the big Eastern universities to work in something they call the Writers Project, where they collected what is now known as the slave narratives.
Oh, right. Yes.
Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I have.
The slave narratives is one of the most suppressed pieces of history there is, and it's one of the best pieces of history in that it went directly to the source, and they recorded it on old reel-to-reel tape recorders, which were, you know, relatively new at the time, but all 2,300 ex-slaves were interviewed, and they're on record. But nobody, you can go get a PhD in American history now and never read the slave narratives. Some of them are available on the internet. I noticed the one on the internet that was put up by the University of Virginia. It has a little synopsis of each of the narratives, and the synopsis picks out the very worst part of it, and that's what it tells you. You know, and the thing that you'll see in these narratives is these people will talk about how well they were treated as slaves, but they'll always say that they knew some slave on usually on another plantation that got a whipping. And that'll be in the synopsis. You know, I hate to take your time. Let me read you just a little of one of these.
Please do. I was just looking up to see if I have that book on Kindle, which I believe I do, because they did make a book of it. I was just looking to see if I had that. Go ahead. Read what you...
Well, she talks about how they did the spinning, and this is Tempe. Her name is Tempe Durham. And she said that the mistress got in and did the spinning with them, and they took care of them when they got sick. And then she talks about their wedding. And she said, that was some wedding. The table was set out in the yard, and you ain't never seen the likes of the eats. I had on a white dress, white shoes, and long white gloves that come to my elbow, and Miss Betsy, that's the mistress, done made me a wedding bell out of a white window curtain. She played the wedding march on the piano, and me and Extra marched down the walk and on the poach, and Miss Betsy done fixed. That the prettiest altar I ever seed. Miss Betsy done put tables filled with flowers and white candles and spread down a bed sheet. And Uncle Edmund Kirby married us. He was the nigger preacher that preached at the plantation church. After he said the last words over me, Marsh George, who was the owner, had a little fun. He said, come, Extra. You and Tippy going to jump over the broomstick backward to see who's going to be the boss.
Uh-huh. And that George, was their custom.
Yeah, Marsh George hold the broomstick about a foot high. One jump over it backwards and never touch the handle, going to boss the house. I sail right over it as a cricket. But when Extra jumped, he drammed his big feet and was so big and clumsy, he got all tangled up in that broomstick, and Marsh George laughed and laughed. Told Extra he going to be boss till he's scared to speak, unless I told him to speak. Then she goes on and tells, at the end of it is what I wanted to read to you. Now listen to this. When you hear this, you'll know why these were never published, okay? Freedom is all right, but the niggers was better off before surrender, because then they was looked after and they didn't get in no trouble of fighting and killing like they do these days. If a nigger got sassy in slavery times, he'd give him a good whipping and he went back and sat down and behaved himself. If he was sick, though, Marsha and Mistress would look after him, and if he needed store medicine, it was bought and give to him and he didn't have to pay for nothing. They didn't have to worry about no clothes or nothing like that. They was wove and made and give to him. Most everybody's master and missus wasn't good as Marse George and Miss Betsy, but they was the same as the mammy and pappy to us niggers. Now, that is directly from the mouth of a former slave. Now, yeah. I'm not saying slavery was good or beneficent, but I'll tell you this, they really did have it better than the wage slaves did in the North at the same time. That's
fact. I agree with you. And it's very interesting. I do have that book, it's called, which is called, like you said, Slave Narratives, A Folk History of Slavery in the United States. And the other thing that contributed to this situation is the debauched liquor. Now, when the Jewish controllers came into the whiskey business, because the people who made the fine whiskey in Kentucky and in the South, it took a long, long time for them to make that whiskey, because they stored it in, you know, I haven't done it myself, but it took months for it to age.
Took years.
It took years. But when the Jews entered the business, they figured out how to do it with chemicals. And they figured out that they could make a chemicalized, cheaply made liquor in about 3 to 4 hours. And so these Jewish firms appropriated the name whiskey, and then they offered a special barrel house whiskey to the blacks. And this degenerate whiskey was designed to bring out the worst in these blacks. It was designed to make them drunk. And I think fine whiskey was not that way. I don't drink myself, so I probably don't know what I'm talking about, but just from the stuff that I have read.
Well, and now, of course, dope has taken the place of the whiskey, and that is, you know,
right.
There's no doubt that, you know, some of the radical blacks are spot on when they say that that the dope in the black areas is there at least under the protection of the government, if not actual participation. But
I believe it's
participation. I firmly believe it.
Yes, and basically this rotten whiskey was sold to the blacks. And they called it barrel house whiskey. It was readily available to them, and it destroyed the culture. Not only did bringing these people over from Africa, I mean they were perfectly happy with their families there. They were kidnapped, and whipped and brought over, and it's destroying two cultures to this day. And
That tribe has always been involved in that. And, you know, to get back onto that, as I told you a while ago, I went to a school that was, a graduate school that was 3/4 Jews from New York. I've been in business all of my life, and I've always, you know, been in business, doing business with members of that tribe for 50 years. And my conclusion is that Anders Breivik is probably right. About 80% of them are not loyal American citizens or citizens of whatever country they live in. And we make a mistake when we go around saying the Jews this and the Jews that, because it's much better if you try to qualify it, so maybe like David Duke does, and call it Jewish supremacists, because everybody knows at least one who doesn't fit the prototype or the stereotype. And I had a Jewish lady tell me one time, she said, all stereotypes are true. And I was actually meeting with her son, and he brought her with him. And she looked at her son, and this is not his real name. She said, Samuel, your father never thought about anything in his life but money. She said, so he fit the stereotype. Then she looked over at me, and she said, now this hillbilly we're talking to probably chews tobacco. Well, you know, I've dipped skull all my life.
Okay, but you didn't rob anybody. You're not a parasitical person. Chewing tobacco, I think, is a lot. It doesn't even compare to stealing and charging usury and engaging in the slave trade and doing all these other egregious things.
That's right. It's just an illustration that these stereotypes are based in truth, you know.
And, sure.
You know, it's just the way they are. It's the way the overwhelming majority of them are. And You know, we just have to face that. And they have to face it too. And some of them do. Now, I'll tell you this. I never knew a single Jew in my life. And remember now, most of these people I'm talking about give big money to the Democrat Party. They supported the so-called civil rights movement and gay rights and all that, and open borders here and closed borders in Israel. They do all that. But I never met one who would personally make the argument for racial equality. A white liberal will. But I'm telling you, I've never known a Jew who would face-to-face with me try to make the argument for racial equality.
Because they're more equal than any of the rest of us. The rest of us are just a bunch of cattle.
That's right. But what I'm saying is, a white liberal will make that argument. They'll even make it right now. They'll tell you, I've got a close relative who's a college professor, and last time I talked to her a few months ago, she said, well, all we need to do to take care of the problems in the black community is spend more money on education. You know, but you would never hear a Jew say that in a private conversation. Now, they might get on TV and say it, but Jews, and when you get to know them as well as they will allow a goyim to know them, where they open up just a little, they make fun of them. They make more fun of the Schwartzes than my old redneck uncles did. You know, they think they're lower than, they think we're subhuman and the black is lower than we are. So my point is, they're not in the dark about racial differences like white liberals are.
Right. I really believe that if the blacks and the whites talk together about the real culprits, then we would be a lot better off. But they have us fighting together so that we're so busy fighting each other that we don't actually target the real culprits.
That's right. I believe we could figure out a way to divide up this land if we didn't have that tribe sitting in the middle agitating.
Exactly.
And I believe, you know, you alluded to something a while ago, and that is, it is obvious to me, ever since Obama's been in, and especially since this Trayvon Martin thing started, that the powers that control behind him want actual violence between the races, and they want it now.
Of course they do.
And I'm convinced that the real reason for it is they want to do what they did in New Orleans, and that is say, we've got to take all the guns.
Exactly.
The only way that they can attack that Second Amendment is through martial law. And I think that's what they want.
Right. Justified by the violence.
Yes, that's
episodes
right.
Episodes of violence.
That's
all right.
All right,
let's take another caller. Let's take Larry in Louisiana.
Hi, I heard you talking about some Civil War history and that. Have you been to the Civil War monument in Vicksburg, Mississippi?
Yes, a long time ago, back in the 60s.
Okay, well, you might like to take another trip there. I'll run it by you real quick. I was told this by a man from the South. There's one monument in there called the Illinois Monument, and it's a copy of the Pantheon. And it's a domed building with about a 6-foot hole in the ceiling open to the sky. And they'll admit to you that it's never rained in there. And if you go in there, you go up steps, one step each day for the siege of Vicksburg, which they'll tell you Lincoln said, I'm going to take Vicksburg and put it in my pocket, and this will determine the outcome of the war. When you walk in the building, you'll see a 12-spoke medicine wheel on the floor. It goes around the outer limit, and then it's 12 spokes into the center. If you just walk straight in the door and you take a penny out of your pocket and you throw it up, it'll just tink on the floor. But if you make one trip around the outside of that wheel and go straight to the center, you'll now realize you're standing in a perfect circle on the floor that matches that circle in the ceiling, and you're standing on the Great Seal of the United States. You're standing right on the place where Lincoln sealed the fate of the South. If you take a penny out of your pocket then and throw it up, it'll just keep on going. Now, it's not illegal to do this, but if the ranger catches you, he'll say don't do it because you might injure somebody, hit them with a penny, or if it did keep on going up and out through the ceiling, it might land in the grass outside, the lawnmower might hit it, and it might injure somebody. Do you know any other Civil War monuments that have these kind of anomalies?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Okay, well, if you ever get over there, don't believe me. Just go try it.
I'll try to do that.
Thank you very much for your call. Okay, we're just coming up on a break, but let's take Bob in D.C., and then Bob, you can stay over the break. Bob?
Well, thank you, Deanna, calling back. And I got to tell you, it's very good to hear again, old man. Got all your shows, the MP3 shows, I've got them all, and they're great. And you go through the mine wars, the Blair Mountain wars, too. There's an article by Chris Hedges right now on that. One thing I would like to mention about...
Hold on, Bob, and mention it when we come back. Be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Hey there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at slashpower123.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at slashpower123.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them, too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to slashpower123.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at slashpower123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's slashpower123.com.
We are back. Our guest today is Edmund Ruffin. And Bob, in D.C., please continue.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Deanna. One thing I just want to clear up, I think I can clear this up a little bit about the Jew question, and that is that I just posted this on a YouTube about a propaganda film. It's a quick one. There are two primary power blocks in the, quote, West, end quote. Jew social Marxist egalitarians on the left and Jew Zionist Likudnik, quote, racist, end quote, on the right, with many Jew think lapdog helpers all around. The Zionist Jews are now so far off the reservation that the commie Jews are attacking them because of all the publicity, especially through the Internet. And it's waking good folks up. And essentially, I think this is where people get confused, that there are these two strong power blocks, and you can't look at it as a single monolith. It's a catfight going on between them right now. And I know that the white traders are the most repugnant. But the big problem is still the Jew.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Deanna. I'll hang up and wait for a comment.
Deanna, he referred to the old man show.
Oh.
It's still available. There are 49 radio shows I did 4 or 5 years ago. You can find them by just Google the old man show. And they cover everything from everything. There's three on the economy. My favorite one was number 37, where I talk about the Henry Ford and the Muscle Shoals project back in the 1920s. I also did two on the Holocaust, which I think are top-notch shows. So if anybody wants to, you know, hear this, if they can decipher this hillbilly accent, they could go and get more of it than they can stand probably by finding that site. That's all it's got on it, so it's 49 shows.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that up. That's wonderful. A question from Joe, who's listening, and a quote. Did the bombing of the Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama on September 15th, 1963, killing 4 black girls and blamed on the Klan, embarrass white America into kowtowing to desegregation? Unquote. What do you think?
Well, one of those shows I just mentioned, the entire show is on that. And in my opinion, that's the most important single thing that ever happened in our history in this country. There is no doubt in my mind that that was an inside job. I hate to be plugging myself here, but if you go find that show on the Old Man Show site, you'll see that Federal Marshal in Birmingham was warned several hours before that explosion that something big was going down and told to go into his office on Sunday morning. He went in. The man who was convicted, well, the three of them were finally convicted, but two of them not until 30 years later, one of them 13 years later, was convicted on the testimony mainly of his ex-wife.
Oh, Edmund, I'm sorry, we're out of time. You must come back. You must come back, okay?
Well, I'd certainly do it. Better make it quick, because at my age, I don't even buy green bananas.
Bless you. Bye-bye, listeners. Bye-bye, Edmund.
See you.